Okay, let's stand together, grab our Bible, Psalms 127, and this is, we call summer, a couple of the months, we call them family nights, and by the way, you don't have to be married to talk about family, you don't have to have children, we talk about spiritual children, the people that God has allowed us to win to the Lord, people that we're discipling in our Sunday school classes. And so don't turn it off if you're not a parent or you're like, well, man, I can't have children. Don't turn it off, because these principles would apply to our spiritual children. And then Brother Ezekiel and I asked Brother Ross, but if you both of you guys, we're going to have Brother Wynn also show his presentation in Spanish. So you can let Brother Compa know that. And then let me get someone back here. Brother Ray, maybe you can get them a taco or something, okay? Maybe they're hungry, because if you're going to be in Spanish service, you already know, okay? They don't get out of here very early, okay? So send someone right after the service, get them something to eat, and then give them a better, not just a drop-in offering, okay? Just quadruple what you normally give them, all right? Brother Ray, you got a lot of money. You just give money out to anybody that shows up, huh? Now, let me say this. Brother Wynn's son, Joe Wynn, is really a picture of what we try to communicate at our church. Multi-generational vision. Not just mom serving the Lord, not just dad serving the Lord, not just junior serving the Lord, but how about the third generation serving the Lord? And this is and what a blessing to see three generations. You don't have to be a missionary, but how about three generations of people that are just love God, they're a light for God, they're soul winners for God, they have godly children, they just it's huge. Psalms 127, and verse number one, very familiar territory. Then we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, Psalms 127. Now, it's going to get 10 degrees warmer when I make this announcement. You wonder why it's warm in here. We lost one compressor. Pray it gets fixed tomorrow, okay? That's why it's a little warm in here. But it's okay. Does it get hotter than this in Mexico in your services? Occasionally. All right, that's what I thought. Africa. We got two missionaries to Africa right here. I'm sure your air conditioners are like really high-end over there, right? Three nationals fanning you with a mortuary fan or something. Psalms 127, verse number 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. By the way, anything that is going to be built, if you're one of God's people, we want to trust the Lord, otherwise it's in vain. Don't live a vain life. Don't live a life that's just useless. Verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. That's all the high school students that are sleeping in this summer. You're claiming that verse, okay? Verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. So what does that mean? Children come from the Lord. You have children, they're from the Lord. Okay, so these are our children. Well, they're God's children. He gave them to you on loan. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So if you have the ability to have children, praise God. That's a reward from God. It's a blessing from God. Verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy, verse 5, is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Okay, that was Albert, 9 children back there, okay? Okay, he has a quiver and a half. And so that's all right, Brother Albert. Happy is the man. By the way, we live in a day and age where like children are a bummer. No, children are a blessing. Now, they're a bummer if they're out, you know, being rebels and being hellions in the city. But if they're living for God, they're a blessing. And if you, mom and dad, maybe take a few of the principles we teach tonight and maybe take a couple and apply them in your life, it'll help your children to be a blessing. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's pray together. Father, help us tonight to take your word and apply it to our families. And maybe it's a Sunday school teacher that has teenagers in his class. Maybe it's a bus captain, Lord, that has children and moms and dads under his ministry that comes on his bus. Or maybe it's a mom, or it's a dad, or it's a single mom, or it's an intact family. But Lord, help us to take these principles and apply them to our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Turn, if you would, over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And look, if you would, to verse 1. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Jed, are you near the piano? Do we have someone near the piano? Where's Jed? Always be near the piano. Well, you have a date back there? Okay, just checking. All right, I'm going to need you in just a few moments. That's like a cardinal sin. If you're the pianist, always be near the piano, because the pastor is going to ask you to just play something, okay? This know, verse number 1, that in the last days, many would believe that we're in the last days, okay? Perilous times shall come. What does perilous mean? Hazardous, dangerous. This know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, though we had sin and though there were problems, like there's always been problems, but 30, 40, 50 years ago, it wasn't like it is in year 2013. We just need to understand that. Moms and dads, we need to understand we live in a different day. And then all the technology has it's like put fertilizer and watering sin. It's just made sin go rampant. It's just spreading. It's so easy to sin. But this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Now look here just a moment. We had disobedience to parents in the garden. But today we have disobedience to parents like never before. Okay? And I'm reading these verses to let you know in the last days where we are, it's much, by the way, it's not impossible, because with God, nothing's impossible. But it's difficult. It's a challenge. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to walk with God. You're going to have to quit listening to the world and quit listening to your coworkers and quit listening to Aunt Mabel. Aunt Mabel just sounds like a good gal. And listen to God. That's strike two on you back there. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous. I didn't hear that. Are you? You're going to the nursery. Boasters, prouders, of blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. By the way, despisers. Who's that? That's the girl that loves God and she's planning and preparing her life to be a wife. That's her goal, to be a wife, and if God would give her, to be a mother. That's what she's training for. And she's being holy, and she's being pure, and she's being godly. And that's what her parents are. You know what people do? They mock at that today. They scoff at that today. Girls, if that's what you're praying for, and that's what you're planning for, you are preparing for what God created you to be. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Don't make fun of people that want to live for God. Don't make fun of people that want to sell out for God. Don't ridicule them. Okay? Bless them. Encourage them. Okay? Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's where we are today. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Where were you on Sunday? Well, we were at the lake skiing. Christians shouldn't be at the lake skiing on Sunday. By the way, they shouldn't be fishing on Sunday night. I don't know if anyone's fishing Sunday night, but if you're fishing on Sunday, you shouldn't be fishing on Sunday night. Take a day off. Take vacation day to go fishing. Don't let your children see you away from God's house loving pleasure more than loving God. By the way, let me say this. Don't hurt our new Christians by being a bad example by taking them somewhere on a church night. Be an example. Come on. Sometimes you get a new convert. Next thing you know, they meet somebody in the church. You're going, oh, my soul. We love everybody. Next thing you know, they're on the right track. Now they're on the wrong track because they got somebody that wasn't on the right track. Leave those folks alone. Don't let them know that there's people who've been saved for a long time that don't really love the Lord very much. Okay? Don't turn them on to that stuff. Traitors, heavy-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Let me give you this. I've given this probably a few years ago. Now, Jed, where are you? Run, brother. Do you guys have this back there? Why do children rebel? I want you to put this, read this when you go home. By the way, get good material. These are just cause and effect, why children rebel. Go ahead, Jed. Go faster, more energy, faster. Thanks. Put this in your Bible. Go home and read it. We did have the DVD tonight, which was a blessing, so I'm going to have to jump into the message. The title of the message is Godly Families in the Last Day. Godly Families in the Last Days. Put those away. We don't want you reading them during the service, but I wanted you to get those, okay? Read those while we're all at In-N-Out. Okay. Put your papers away. Got it? Thank you, Jed. Let me say, I'm going to give you 9 quick points today. Number one, recognize children are from the Lord and a blessing. They're blessing. Okay, let me say number two. We saw there, Psalms 127. We saw verse 3-5. Happy is the man that has his quiver full. Okay, all those amens are people with 5 and 6 children. Okay. Number two, you got 4. Okay, let's get with the program. Where's Perry Fineta? Let's go, sister. 2 girls and 2 boys. You got to break the tie. Number two, according to God, the more children you have, the more potential happiness you can have. That went over like a screen door in a submarine. Now, that's what God says. Happy is a man, not that. How many you got? 4. He's only been married 3.5 years. Happy is the man, this is God speaking. This isn't pastors like off-the-wall doctrine that he got from the homeschool experts. Happy is the man that has a bunch of them. Now, you don't have to have a bunch to be happy. But what God is saying, potentially, you can be happier if you got a bunch of kids that are serving God. Now look, if the whole world fell apart and I still had my wife on my team and had all 8 of my children on my team, I'd be super happy. By the way, my children have been all grown up. You know them. They're here all the time. They've been in school. You gave them demerits. A couple of you tried to suspend a couple. Okay? But I'll tell you what. One of the greatest joys I have is to have children, 8 children that are serving the Lord. And they're on bus routes, and they teach Sunday school classes. I have 2 adult children that teach adult Sunday school classes. The other 4 or 5 or however many, they're on bus routes. They're here Saturday morning. They go to faithfulness rally. They hear their dad. They hear their dad at family altar. They hear their dad at church on Sunday night and Sunday morning, Thursday night. Then they go to faithfulness rally. Some of them go to Monterey Park. It's a joy to have a bunch of kids. And I'll just throw that out there. If you're getting, you're like, oh, you know, we want a millionaire family. We just want, and by the way, our wonderful Chinese people. They only have 1, Leo over here, 1, okay? And in China, you don't have 1. In America, you can have 20. So go ahead and take advantage of it, amen? Tax write-off. Go to Alaska, I think they give you like $1,000 a head. You want to be a missionary to Alaska? Let me say next, recognize in this day, but listen, we're... Brother Bobby, how long have you been at our church now? How long have you been here? 11 years. Do you know what happens? There's a blessing about being in the church for a long time. But with every asset, there's a liability. Do you know once you're in a church for a long time, and I'm just going to just throw this out there real fast. Brother Fugit, our friend, he's just a good man, good preacher, good godly man. He said, be careful about the Eli syndrome. See, what's the Eli syndrome? His kids were committing sin right on the front porch of the church. See, what's the Eli syndrome? Just getting used to being in church all the time. By the way, mom and dad, you can help your children to not get the Eli syndrome by you being in the pew and being excited about God, and you being in your Sunday school class and being excited about the Lord. And by the way, God is someone for whom we can be excited about. The Eli syndrome. Let me say this. Don't just let the kids just walk around at church. This is not a playground. This is God's place where we come together and we love each other and we pray and we bring people to church. We see people saved. We hear preaching. We sing. We listen to special music. We see and we hear and we watch God work. Don't let the kids just walk in the hallways. I mentioned this morning, every church in America has a hallway church. Don't let your kids be in the hallway church. And then when you're on the patio, that's church out there. Don't walk up and down the sidewalk and go get you a Coke. Those Cokes are for before church and after church. This is not a football game. I can't wait until we get in that building because there's nobody has an excuse to just come in and out. We're going to have guys, mandatory 6-foot ushers at the back door saying, don't come in and out. Around here, you got over there, you got patios, all this, and you know hallway ministry. Some of our staff members are like the pastors of the hallway ministry. Brother Ross said the biggest Sunday school class is in the hallway. Okay? You know, I love to see, there's nothing in the Bible, but I see Brother Albert with all of his children back there and his wife. I love to see family sitting together in church. Just, you know, I shouldn't say it, but I get paid to say things I shouldn't say. I was closing it right during the invitation. I saw a teenager on the patio cutting up. Man, I came that close, but I'm going, I wonder if I'm going to operate in the flesh here. I always want to walk in the Spirit. You say, Pastor, do you ever operate in the flesh? Of course I do. Actually, it's fun sometimes. You just feel guilty, and you got to confess to God. I'm like, man, I'm right here. Can't you see me? Quit talking on the patio. God's working in people's lives. Your children's spiritual maturity should grow and not diminish as they get older. Heard the other day, 85% of the Southern Baptist children, I can't remember where I heard this. Maybe I read it. Go astray when they become an adult. Folks, please understand this. There's nowhere in this Bible that says that has to happen. Nowhere. Matter of fact, our children, and we've taught it, I won't teach it tonight because it'll take too long, the funnel syndrome. You're stricter. There's tighter reins when their children are smaller. But as they get older, if you train them right, you don't have to have those tight reins. By the way, if you don't have those tight reins when they're younger, next thing you know it, you're 17 and you got them on this really short leash. Okay? Now, Joanna, she's on a little bit of a short leash. Ben, he doesn't even have a leash. My finger's in a hook on his collar. Nathaniel, I got him in a straitjacket next to me. Daniel, 17. Truth of the matter is, and he's not a perfect kid, I don't have to have all those restrictions on him. You know, he's 17 years old. He has a lot of freedoms. You say, why? Because he loves the Lord and he wants to serve the Lord and he is serving the Lord. And it's like, man, what a blessing. It's hard to have a short leash on 8 kids. Susanna, I don't have to have a short leash on her. Tim's a different story. My adult children, Tim and Sarah and Joseph up here, I have him up here so I can watch him better. But the truth of the matter is, it's a wonderful thing to have a bunch of children that love God. And they want to serve. It's a joy. As they get older, if you teach them right when they're little, you don't have to say, oh, what's the poor kid going to do when he gets out of our house? You shouldn't have to worry about that. Recognize the carefulness you need in these days. I cannot overemphasize that. Your children can be polluted like that in one night. One night. One night. And it could be at an uncle's house. Let me just say this. About once or twice a year I'll say this. Be careful who you let your children go to be babysat by. Oh, they're one of the good Christians in our church. How do you know? I won't say who it is, and I don't know if he said it behind this pulpit, but one of my good preacher friends, he says, we live in a day and age, he says, where I won't let my, he said, it's wonder, he said, I wouldn't necessarily say this, but for some family members, he said, I wouldn't even let my daughters just be dropped off with grandpa. Now, I'm not saying you need to do that, but I'm saying this, we need to be careful. Do you know everything you see in the newspaper and everything you hear in the news? Do you know all that? You know who that is? That's somebody's brother. That's somebody's uncle. That's actually somebody's father. And a lot of those people, they attend church. Be careful. You can't be too careful. By the way, err on the side of caution. Err on the side of caution. You don't have to be walking around in fear, but you can't have your head in the ground thinking everything's okay and you just blow it because you weren't cautious enough. Number next, real quickly. Separating your family from the world is imperative if they are to be godly children. Look, I mentioned this in faithfulness. It's easy to develop an appetite for anything. Brother Ron used to take me golfing years ago, and I liked it. I liked it, and I quit golfing for years. And then I hadn't golfed in, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years. And then Brother West, he asked me, and I didn't want to do it, and he took me out to this driving range right over here. I'm 3 minutes away. I got out there. I was wondering why my back's been hurt. Now I know why. And he took me out there, and if you golf, Any golfers out there? Anybody golf? Okay, all two of us. If you golf, a couple things you don't want to do. You don't want to swing and miss. This is not baseball, okay? And so you swing and miss, and you're embarrassed. Because whether you're golfing in a driving range, you've got people all over the place. They're watching you, okay? And then if you're on a golf course, you got people waiting for you. And then you're with people, so you don't want to swing. And then when you swing the golf club, you don't want the ball to hook. The ball's supposed to go right over there. There's a flag over there, and the ball's supposed to get on that green, or if it's a really far away, it's got to get close to that green. So the goal is to get a nice, straight hit, right? Well, I'm out there. I'm telling you, my first swing, it went whoosh. I missed it. I missed the ball, and I'm going, this is not going to be a good day. Then I remember Brother Ron took me to get lessons. Get your back straight, okay? Make your two arms, and I just went with a lesson. Your two arms need to be like one pendulum, one thing, and then I'm going with the lessons, and all of a sudden, whap, and it went, boom, and I'm like, I got it back. I felt good about it. This golf driving range, you put the balls in this little hole, and the ball comes out, and it goes right on the tee. I'm like, man, this is great. And I'm like, I'm hot. Going over there, and then I'm like, okay, there's a square box over there. I'm saying, okay, this is just driving range. And I turn, I'm going, okay, I'm going to try to hit that box over there. I'm going to see if, Brother Ron, I could probably beat you now. Hit the box. I left there. You know what? I was ready to start golfing again. 45 minutes on a driving range, I was ready to golf. Do you know your kids can go over to the neighbor's house or to the brother or sister, some brother or sister in the church, and they start developing an appetite? In 45 minutes, they can develop an appetite for the world. Do you know the world tastes good? Tastes good. It would be good advice. This is not, I couldn't give you a commandment here. It'd be good advice to not have a television. Then you say, well, I got to tell them. Be good advice not to have cable. Thank you for those three burps. And then if you do have a television, it would be really good advice to make sure that your children never watch television by themselves. By the way, the greatest waste of time on planet Earth is watching television or surfing the web. You say, well, there's a new Disney movie. Your children are developing an appetite for the world. Work hard at not allowing your children to be peer dependent. And you say, oh, Pastor, you say that every third sermon. Your children need God, your children need their parents, and your children need other godly, stable, faithful adults. They can have acquaintances in church. They can have a little fun activity with. But listen, if your kids are always wanting to use your phone or get on your computer or their computer to email their friend all the time, there's problems coming. They don't need peer dependence. By the way, it starts when they're that big. Benjamin's best friend is probably Mike West. He's like 62 years old. I think Joanna's best friend would probably be Jazz and Jennifer, I'm guessing. You say, why? That's who I see her hang out with all the time. They're both mothers. One's her sister-in-law. Is that right? Jennifer's your sister-in-law, right? That's how that works. And Jazz is her cousin's wife, who's 25? Six? I guess once you hit 27, you don't tell anybody. Nathaniel's best friend is Joseph, his big brother. By the way, if you have godly older children, that would, those would be the best, that should, those should be their best friends right there. You know them very well. Oh, well, they like to just hang. Okay, that's fine. What if that kid goes astray? You know, I've learned, and we've learned, Brother Ross, he's been, you know what we've learned? Do you know who people backslide with? The friends that they had in the church that backslid, and now this kid will backslide with them. I'm hoping, now, there's no foolproof way to do this. I'm hoping my son, Joseph, doesn't backslide because maybe Nathaniel will. I'm hoping Jazz Limcocco doesn't backslide because maybe Joanna will. We can't make it foolproof, but I tell you what, we can be cautious and careful. Train, and as I mentioned this morning, and I'm done, train your children to do the will of God. Train your children to do the will of God and not keep up with the world. Every once in a while, I get this. It would be nice if we can just get everybody that really, really loves the Lord and really, really, really wants their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren to sell out for God, and let's move to North Dakota. And let's start our own city, and let's try to win all the, you know, moral North Dakotans to Christ, and let's build a big wall around the city. No email, no technology, no websites, no internet, no TV, none of that. Just God and the Bible, and then we go out there. Let's go win the Indians to Christ in North Dakota. Oh, Pastor, you're funny. I mean it. No, I'm not going to do it, but you say, how do you fantasize? I fantasize just getting, but you know what? God has called us the city because there's a lot of lost people in the city. We're here for a purpose, but at the same time, don't get so involved with the world and the people of the world. You begin the appetites, and next thing you know it, you give it to your kids, and next thing you know it, they have an appetite, and the only way that appetite's going to be filled is giving them more of the world. Let's bow our heads for just